LOL Radio presents Reflections by Father Brian Krenwelch.
In 1994, the guest speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. was a little old nun. Major government leaders, including the president and his wife, were in attendance and watched as the nun walked out onto the stage before her talk. This nun's name was Mother Teresa. And she served the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. Everyone listened intently as she began her speech. I mean, after all, she was respected worldwide for her service to the poor. She began the talk by speaking about love and how true love leads to peace in the world. And then she said something that made everyone sit up. Quote, "I feel the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing against the innocent child, murder by the mother herself." Here was Mother Teresa, who everyone expected to talk about the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. And yet she was talking in very strong language about the children who were killed by direct abortions. But that was exactly her point, that the unborn children were the poorest of the poor because they had no one to fight for them. Now, I want to be very clear here, since this is understandably a very sensitive topic. There are many factors why a woman chooses to have an abortion, and many times it is a painful and shattering decision. Yet, there should always be hope, because with the Lord, as we know, there is always compassion. Our Lord is always willing to forgive and bring healing in the sacrament of confession. And we, as the people of God, must always warmly welcome everyone home. Just as God has shown mercy to all of us, we are to show mercy to everyone. So I want everyone in this church to leave here knowing that there is no sin too big for God and His mercy. Now, Mother Teresa's words at the National Prayer Breakfast hit home to those listening because she was pointing out something that no one had thought about, the fact that the unborn child is the poorest of the poor. You see, even by then, in 1994, our nation had gotten used to abortion. All right, we didn't even think about it, about what it truly is, about what it does to women. People were focused on more, quote-unquote, bigger issues. And I think everyone, whether you are a Christian or not, wants to help the poor. That's built into us. But we still tend to forget that the poorest of the poor are those who cannot defend themselves, those in the womb. And so the saintly nun from Calcutta was simply trying to refocus our eyes on the reality that the right to life comes first. Nothing else can be achieved in this life if our own right to life, given to us by our Creator, is not respected and defended. As Pope St. John Paul II taught, the right to health, to home, to work, to family, to culture, is false and illusory if the right to life, the most basic and fundamental right, and the condition for all other personal rights, is not defended with maximum determination. As we know, from the moment of a baby's conception, that baby is a person, a beloved creation of Almighty God. And that baby has a plan and purpose in life, to know, love, and serve God so that he or she may be with him forever in heaven. Though circumstances tend to cloud this reality, a direct abortion at any stage in the pregnancy is the direct and intentional killing of a human life. It's the killing of an innocent human life, similar to euthanasia. Therefore, it is always and everywhere wrong. The gospel this morning reminds us that we must give to God what is God's. And how can we forget that our very lives are not our own, but a gift from God? Therefore, they must be protected and respected at all costs. As Catholics, we must continue to pray for an end to abortion in our country and in the world. We must pray for all mothers and fathers in very real and difficult situations. Yet, prayer is only the beginning. We must defend life through our speech and also in our actions. In the second reading, in his letter to the Thessalonians, St. Paul talks about how we are chosen by God to bring his gospel to others. I think today more than ever, we, as the people of God, as members of God's holy church, are chosen to proclaim the gospel of life, that life is worth fighting for. Now, as we all know, in just a couple weeks, we'll be going to the polls, if not already. And we are called to vote with a well-formed conscience, formed according to the teachings of Christ and his church. Now, as we also know, this election has gone so out of hand in so many different ways. Right? There's not a single person who is running for office who holds completely to the teaching of Christ, nor has there really ever been. And there is so much confusion, even amongst devout Catholics, over different aspects of the election. Things have become so murky, and there is so much division in our country right now. Yet perhaps we as Catholics have been sidetracked from focusing on what is fundamentally important, what Mother Teresa had to remind everyone, that life comes first, over other issues, over political parties, over everything. After all, you cannot have anything else without first respecting the tremendous gift of life that God has let you have. As the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have just recently reaffirmed, abortion is the preeminent priority in our voting. Now, to be clear, and this is very important, Catholics are not single-issue voters. But we need to understand that not all issues have the same moral weight. As Catholics, amidst the many different issues that we can in good conscience disagree on, there are several non-negotiable issues that as faithful disciples of Christ, we cannot compromise on. We can never support abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, human cloning, and same-sex marriage. All of these deserve more explanation for another time. And I know some of these issues are very sensitive. I get it. Yet, the right to life of an unborn baby is the most fundamental of these non-negotiables. And so, in this Respect Life Month, I address it today. Nothing is more important than life. And all of these non-negotiables support the Catholic teaching of a consistent ethic of life. There are other issues that are important, don't get me wrong, but that are not of equal weight to actions that are always wrong. As Catholics, we are allowed to debate and use prudential judgment on how to best stop homelessness, prevent poverty, and we are allowed to disagree on our stance on immigration policy, whatever it may be. Further, there are issues that we as Catholics do not support, such as racism and capital punishment. But when we are forced to put them side by side with abortion, we can see through reason that though there are similarities among them, they do not have identical consequences. For example, capital punishment, though inadmissible in our modern day, is not of equal weight to actions that are always wrong. You see, historically, capital punishment has not always been seen to have been inadmissible by the popes, based on the circumstances of their day. Therefore, it is not intrinsically evil and cannot be compared with abortion and euthanasia. Further, the number of those killed through capital punishment is nowhere comparable to the millions killed by abortion. In the United States, There were 5 federal convicts executed this year. In 2017, there were 862,000 abortions committed. We can deduce that nearly 1 million children will be aborted this year. Abortion is both qualitatively and quantitatively different from other issues. You know, at times it's convenient to proclaim the word of God. At other times it isn't. In season and out of season. In election season and out of election season. But we still must do so, always with love and mercy. Why? Because we as Catholics are chosen to do so. We are defenders of the truth, defenders of the dignity of every human person, from conception until natural death, defenders of the poorest of the poor, defenders of God's never-failing mercy. At the National Prayer Breakfast, Mother Teresa said, "Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. That is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion." As Catholics, we are morally obligated to use our right to vote to promote the common good, and we can never directly condone evil. A direct abortion is a great evil because it takes away the innocent life of a human person, a life that can never be regained. And this reality does not easily sink into us, admittedly. It can seem like any other issue, or an issue that's one of many, or different circumstances can cloud our vision of this reality. We must pray for parents in very difficult situations. We must pray for an end to abortion. We must do all we can to support mothers after the birth of their children, especially mothers in difficult situations. Further, we must pray for the strength to defend the right to life of every human person, even when it's inconvenient, because the gift of life is a gift from Almighty God, not us. As Catholics, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, but we have lost our saltiness, it seems. We have blended in with society. We must stand up for life again in prayer, action, and mercy. And that includes who we vote for. If my conscience is formed according to Christ and his church, while striving to be an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ, I cannot knowingly and willingly support a candidate who supports the unjust killing of abortion. If there are other candidates present who do support life and are closer in line with the church's teaching on the other non-negotiables I mentioned earlier. As Mother Teresa said, the right to life does not depend and must not be declared to be contingent on the pleasure of anyone else, not even a parent or a sovereign. Are we as Catholics willing to proclaim the word of God, the gospel, which is a gospel of life, in season and out of season, when it is convenient or inconvenient, in how we vote and in how we live our lives? We have been chosen by God to proclaim the truth of Christ in love, and ultimately that God's mercy is never-ending, that he cares for each and every one of us, no matter our size, and that he is always willing to embrace us when we come to him in mercy. There is no sin too big for God to forgive. And so I close this morning with Mother Teresa's closing words at the breakfast. If we remember that God loves us, and that we can love others as he loves us, then America can become a sign of peace for the world. From here, a sign of care for the weakest of the weak, the unborn child, must go out to the world. If you become a burning light of justice and peace in the world, then really, you will be true to what the founders of this country stood for. God bless you.